AJC.
Passed now, and I think I don't know who got his 220 machine, but
may be the same people that got the Mount Mitchell machine and the '76 machine up there on Mount Pisgah. I don't know.
A bad spot for about, oh, a quarter of a mile here, Gary, over here by this sports complex over on 29 by Spartanburg, coming up towards the I-26 entrance thing there, which we're not going to take, of course. Well, I just didn't know there was that much activity there on 220. All my radios are 2 meters and 440. And back home, we never, well, back home, this is home after 13 years. But back in Kansas, we didn't have any 220 repeaters that I was aware of. But, yeah, Gallonsville's kind of out in the boondocks there. When I go north to go to Landrum or something, it gets a little sketchy along in there.
It does get a little sketchy up in that area. But Ken Woodard's call was WA4BVW. I don't know if you ever talked to him or not. Just a super, super individual. And I really enjoyed talking to him and missed talking to him because since he passed away. There's been a lot of them like that, Tom. You know, we keep getting older and we keep losing our friends. That's the bad part of it.
A guy called me here a couple months ago, and I lost one back in Kansas. What was Ron call? M0, that burner. It's been so long since I called him. I hated to hear it, but he fought cancer for a long time. But you're right. There is a finite number out there. We're just not in very much of a hurry to figure out what that is. So, is Joy with you today, or are you matching it?
Myself today, Joy was, we went out in the back, and our puppy, German Shepherd Pig, oh gosh, I don't know how much she weighs now, she's a monster, but she got... running across the yard, ran into Joy, and it kind of knocked her back silly, and she's hurting a little bit today. So we just trying to do our best to let her settle down. And I'm on the way to the dump. I've got to go throw away the trash, and then I've got to make a couple other stops before I get back to the house, and then the work begins. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. My neighbor's got a UF run to run from the swimming pool out to his new chicken pen, some 14-2 with ground UF. So I'm going to help him out with that, and he's going to dig his trench. He wanted to put it at 2 inches, and I said, no. I said, it's going to be a little deeper than that. I said, that UF's tough wire, but I said, it ain't that tough. And I don't know if you ever ran any of that or not. It's a booger. It's like Romex, only a solid plastic around it. And it's just kind of difficult to strip. But the code on it says 18 inches and in conduit. Now, I know he's not going to want to do that, but we're out in the country, and I agree that there'll never be anybody dig there, but it's not going to be on my... when I'm punched in, it's going to be deeper than that. It only have to be in conduit, as far as I'm concerned, or 18 inches, but it's going to be a lot deeper than 2.
It needs to be a whole lot deeper than 2. I've got to run power out to my barn, and my next-door neighbor's an electrician by trade. And, you know, he's got his own business. And he came over, and he told me what I needed to get, and... he said he had him a new building built behind his house, and he's going to get a ditch wedge, you know, a trencher. He said, if you'll go in with me on that, he said, we'll dig your ditch and mine at the same time, and we'll just lay the wire in, and he said, I'll wire yours up. And I said, well, what are you going to charge me? He says, you pay it part of the rental fee on the digger. He said, I'll wire it up for nothing. I said, you got a deal.
Yeah, those shovels, they just don't fit my hand anymore. We bought a shovel here a few years ago, Gary, and it must be a foot long, the blade on it, and it's got a slight angle at the nose of it, and it's pointed, and it's high leverage, and I'm telling you, that's the best thing we ever bought. Now, it ain't no better than anything else if you're running into tree roots or something, but boy, it's really the nicest shovel I believe I ever had, next to a good old round nose, you know. But I told Tim I'll bring that over, and he can use that, but what I was going to do was, what Bernice suggested was use the edger and just run the edger. It's all pure dirt. It's dirt that was bobcatted up by the swimming pool. So there's no roots or anything. Just run that edger down there, make yourself a nice straight line, and then just take that high-leverage shovel of mine, and I think it'll just be easy as pie, especially while the ground's a little bit damp.
Oh, Tom, that high-leverage shovel, is that like a, well, I've got two of them. The ones I bought are called sharpshooters.
Sharpshooter, I've got two of those, but those are good ones, too, but it's narrower than that. I'll shoot you a picture of it just for the fun of it. And I'm sorry to hear about Joy. Dogs can do that, Gary. Oh, we got a lane dodger here going in and out in front of us, and he can have it. But, Gary, those dogs can do that. We had a pit bull. It was my dad's, and it was tame as could be. But, boy, if you ran into you, it's like getting hit with a truck. And Bill's dogs are that way in 4IQ. They are built like a rock. You know, he's got those, I forget what breed of bulldog they are, but they're short and stocky and you know, flat-nosed. And, man, I mean, they bump you. Especially when you get older, they can knock you down.
Tom, and my German Shepherd's the older one. She weighs probably, I don't know, probably 90, somewhere between 90 and 100 pounds. And this puppy is bigger than she is, and she's not through growing yet. the puppy is actually taller than the older female that we've got. Both of them's female, but they are stout. I tell you what, they're something else, but yeah, dogs can be that way, unfortunately, any way we look at it, but we have to, if we're going to have them, we might as well deal with it, they're right.
Mobile. Yeah, Gary, Amy, our daughter, when I said Bill a while ago, I meant N4IQ, he's got some beautiful bulldogs, and I just love them. I love dogs, but I've got a cat that's been visiting my chickens lately, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to punch his ticket if he keeps it up, disturbing my hens. But at any rate, Amy's been babysitting. He's a retired Army officer, flew Chinook helicopters, and they're real close with them. And Ed and his wife and the kids have went down to Florida to Orlando, and they've been babysitting two of those German Shepherds, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm almost scared to walk in the door the way those things bark, but they're gentle. But man, I'd say they weigh up around 100, wouldn't you, Bernice? If they'd bump you, they'd take you out.
Well, I'm glad that, well, I know you knew what I was talking about all along, but anyway, I've arrived here at the dump, Tom. I got to jump out for a minute, throw my trash away, do my recycling and stuff of that nature. I'll be back in here in just a minute. Enjoy talking with you. You and Miss Bernice have a great day, what's left of it, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes as soon as I get my trash done. N0TRKI4DOS.
Okay, Gary, I'll send you a picture of a good dog, a true bred dog there, and you can take a look at it in a little bit. This is N0TR 73.
I'm in 4DJC.
Hang on just a second, bud. I'll get right back to you. I deleted that picture. I was going to send that down to Gary if he wanted to see a true bred dog. My daughter sent it to me this morning. How you doing, Jerry? Glad to hear you. I haven't heard you in a while.
I've been to a little car shop and wound up buying a car yesterday.
I thought you had a Honda Accord.
Yeah, the Accord. Yeah, that thing was just—it's too hard for me to get in and out of. My wife too. She had a problem with her knees, and it's just a load of the ground. I couldn't see out of it. The hood set up so high you couldn't see the end of the hood, and it just—I've enjoyed driving it, but I was having a hard time seeing out of it. Thought, well, it just turns 72, so I better get some leisure for me to get in and out of. So we bought us a Subaru Crosstrek. I'd had a Forester once before, and I liked that car, but. Try to do something different with a Accord, and tell you what, the prices of cars now, it was, I tell you what I paid for that Accord, it was just, it's almost too good a deal to pass up. It was just, they gave me a lot of money on trade-in, which was unusual, and, when I got it, I knew I got a good deal on it, but I got a Crosstrek. It's smaller than the Forester, but it's, still all wheel drive, it's got leather interior and all the stuff on. I really like it. Wife feels more comfortable driving it than she did the Accord. We can just we're sitting up a little bit higher and you can see out of it.
Jerry, I was busy texting there. We had to pull over and stop here in front of M&J's restaurant over here.
It's smaller than the Forester.
Okay, I'm not familiar with it. Do they still use the boxer engine?
That's all they've ever had in them, except for the, I think a couple of cars they built didn't have that boxer engine in them, but it was, I think they got a joint venture with Toyota on one or two cars that are, they sell under a Subaru name and under a Toyota name, and I think that's the only one the car that's not all-wheel drive is they built.
Boxer engine's been around for many, many years. It ought to be tried and true, I would think. And I'm sure it's fuel injected and everything nowadays. It is an odd looking engine, though.
It reminds me of a helicopter engine a little bit, the way it's set up. But they're not quite as smooth as regular inlines are. But they're like you said, they're pretty easy to spot when you see one. You got good access under the hood if you want to do anything to your oil changes and stuff like that yourself. It's pretty easy to get to. But this one's got a little bit bigger. This one's got like a 2.5 liter. And the standard engine in that model is usually a 2.0. This 2.0 is just not quite enough because that car is about a little bit over 3,000 pounds. It's pretty heavy. And this got plenty of room in it for us. And like I said, it's a lot shorter and a little bit narrower than the Accord was. So she was real happy with driving it. I have to get her to drive a lot sometimes. So she wasn't very comfortable driving the Accord. It was just so wide. It was just unreal. You have to kind of sit down in it. You have to grab something to get out of it. And I want something a little more easy, just a leisure side. I ain't got a lot I got to do, just throw my legs out and get out.
SUV, it's set
some kind of tile. Looks kind of like it's kind of a smaller version of the Forester, which is their classic SUV they've been making for years. This model is probably, I think they've been making it about 10 or 12 years. It's a fairly mature model for them. This one is still made in Japan too. It's not made in the U.S.
Probably a good thing. Well, here goes the local constabulary going by. Don't see many of those sheriffs. But, congratulations. There's another sheriff. Congratulations, Jerry. That sounds like it'll fit your needs. I backed down on buying that hybrid the other day. I don't know. It just didn't need it. I got a call, and glad you mentioned oil changing. I can get the oil changed in this one. I picked up a case of Mobile One while I was over there at Costco. They had it for $10 off, and of course it's raised. It's it was $35. It was used to be $29 when you got $10 off. But that's what I run in all my vehicles, and I used to change it myself, but this dang Avalon's so low, there's just no way. I can't get down there to do it anymore anyways. I get leg cramps and such. But, and it's got a cartridge, and I hate that. Instead of a screw-on cartridge, it's got one of those in the, you know, encapsulated things. And that's a pain. So I just go down and give that guy $25, and he changes it. And I don't have to worry about it that way.
Boy, it's good. Oh, it's been around a long time. Subaru has some brand, you know, some brands they use. They use Mobile, a lot of people use Mobile One, but yeah, most all these newer ones use the 0 to 20 year, whatever it is, you know, that real low viscosity oil to get the better gas mileage. And that's just, you know, the Accord did too. That's just the nature of the beast. Now, all synthetic, and it's pretty expensive to change the oil. I think this one takes about 5 quarts. It's not a real big, you know, it's just 2.5, but it's not a real big engine. It still takes a fair amount of oil. And a lot of these cars now, the Honda, for instance, you didn't change the oil filter every time you changed the oil. It was just, I thought it was always weird, but this one you change the oil and oil filter every 6,000.
This is NGLTR. Yeah, that high mileage Mobile One now, which I don't know what the difference in it is. I just went ahead and got it. This got 84,000 on it. But I changed it every 5,000, and it's just guaranteed for 10,000. But I just don't buy that, Jerry. I'm old school. I would rather change it more often than less often. It's not very dirty, actually, at 5,000, but I don't know. I'm just set in my ways, I guess, Jerry.
DRN4DJC, well, I'm the same way. I know years ago, my dad changed every 2,000 miles, but he was a rural mail carrier, so he drove on dusty roads. And, you know, you did good if you get 60,000 or 70,000 miles out of the car back in the 60s. I've been doing about every 5,000 miles and rotate the tires at the same time as well. I tried to do it 25. They say 6 is okay. I don't go over 6. So I think the Honda wants to, they go to 7,500 on the cord, but, you know, that's just a lot. And plus with that, you know, the Honda had that turbocharger, you know, that, and it doesn't have an oil reservoir, so it takes the oil out of the crankcase, is the same as the engine does. So I wasn't real thrilled about that, so I normally change about every 6,000.
Now, this one, Jerry, uses 6 1/4 quarts, which I got to gun it a little bit here. So it takes quite a bit. And I don't mind doing that. If you don't have any problems with your vehicles and that, oil's pretty cheap compared to a $50,000 car nowadays. It's in 0TR.
KI4DOS. I'm mobile again. Y'all talking about all that oil changes and stuff. I got a 7.4. It takes 8 quarts when you put an oil filter on it, and I put an oil filter on it every time I change oil. But I don't have the 322,482 miles on it.
Came to yourself. I figured by now you'd run out and buy one of them Teslas or one of them EVs, a man of yours standing in the community.
Any desire to have one of those Teslas or any of the other electric vehicles, I'm going to continue to drive this old gas guzzler for as long as it'll hold together, and then I'm going to put some super glue on it and drive it a few more miles. But it's been a good one. I can't complain. But there again, if something goes wrong with it, I fix it then, and I don't wait till it tears something else up. I had to do a little bit of maintenance to it, but not much. And so I've been very fortunate with it. And I enjoy getting out riding in my big old truck.
I put a lot of miles on cars over the years myself. About 300 is about the most I put on one, I guess. But once you find a good one, you can put a lot of miles on one. If it holds together at 200, it's going to hold together probably at 400 as long as the transmission holds out on them. And I think regular maintenance is important. But the other thing, too, is just some of the cars are just built better. You know, it's kind of like an example of one. Some of them, you know, you might pick up another one just like it, and they might start giving you trouble with $150,000. It's just individual examples, I guess, because I've had some that were just great and just kept on going. I had others that, yeah, I wouldn't give you a dime for after 70,000 miles. There's always something wrong with them. That's just the nature of the beast, I guess. But I think there's a place for electric vehicles. It's just not, you know, out in the country and out most places, it's just not worthwhile. You got to have your own charging station. And I tell you, that Ford Lightning truck, that thing's a hoot to drive. Now, I know a guy who's got one. That thing's absolutely fly, but he's one of these early adopters, you know. And that thing, I want to say that thing's about $70,000 to us. Way out of my pay scale.
This is your old GR. Gary, I'm like you. I ain't buying one either. But I looked at a hybrid the other day, but I didn't really go in there to do that. I went in there to look at these new Crowns that are going to replace the Avalon, and they suck. I don't like the looks of them at all. But DJW said he kind of liked them, but I don't know. I'd have to disagree there, and the color scheme they got is not very good either. But his wife's got an Avalon like we were looking at, and I went in there, and this kid had a 2021, and they had a heck of a price on it. But you're just adding complexity when you go with a hybrid, but I'd go there before I'd go with totally EV. And we could get by with an EV. But, Gary, my first truck was $50, and I went over to Lamar, Missouri, which was 30 miles, and I picked it up. And Charlie Madison, I was just asking around the shop, and they had a dairy farm, and he said, Tom, drive over there, but he said, bring you a 5-gallon bucket full of water. And he says, we got it uncovered. It's covered up with baling wire and such out behind the barn. It hadn't been used in 8 years. And it was still 6-volt. It was a 216 Babbitt meter, if you know what I mean, the Babbitt insert bearings. And I gave him $50 for it. And we had to jumper it. And I had to put a new battery in it when I got home. And I drove that thing for 13 years, Gary. Now, on the way home, about every 10 miles, I'd have to stop and fill the radiator, so I had to replace the water pump. But I drove it 13 years, and I sold it for $150, and it was still running, Gary.
Chemical, Tom. But my first car was a 1951 Plymouth Flathead 6. And the first thing I did was going to tune it up, and I broke a spark plug off in it. And I paid $50 for it. And my dad came out there, I went in the house and carried that broke spark plug in to Daddy. And I said, Daddy, I need some help. He said, you broke it, you fix it. So I learned right quick that you take it easy on them spark plugs, especially on that old flathead 6.
Yeah, we used to clean the spark plugs on our Yamaha motorcycles. We'd take them in, they had at the standard station, they had an AC Nelco spark plug cleaner and sandblasted them in those NGK spark plugs. But, yeah, that 53 Chevy I had later on, I had a 55 series, first series, Chevy truck, and it was a good one. It was pretty. But this old one, I'd paint it once a year with Gibson's Best Porch and Deck Enamel with a 4-inch paintbrush. And like I said, I drove 13 years, and the guys that worked swore up and down that paint was all that was holding that truck together, Gary. Go ahead, Jerry.
I remember, the other car we got is 17 years old now, and of course she's still driving it. It doesn't have all the safety features that you want to do, but it's fine for around them. Gary talked about that in Plymouth. One of my buddies in high school came rolling up, me to hang out over here at Dairy Queen in Harlow. He came rolling up one Friday night. He had I can't remember what brand that car was then, but Gary, I know you'll remember it. It was a fluid drive. I want to say it was a Plymouth, but I ain't real sure if that's what it was or not. It was a big old hulking thing. It looked like a Coast Guard cutter coming rumbling in there. It was a big, and that thing was, I can't remember, it had like a clutch or something. I can't remember what it was now, but he got back there with that thing. How long he did it, I think he paid about $50 or $60 for it, but it was a big old beast of a car.
Plymouth, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry, and it was a beast of a car, no doubt. Well, this old truck I'm driving, it's 27 years old, it's a 96. My wife drives a 99, so we don't have any new vehicles, but they're well maintained. I'd get in either one of them and go anywhere I wanted to go, but that's the nature of that beast, I guess. As long as they hold together, you know, you can't complain about them. Well, you can, but what good would it do?
This is General T.R. with the Man on the Mountain. Well, Gary, this one served me well, and I love that old truck. We chased geese and hunted rabbits in the snow and coyote hunting in it, you name it, that old truck. And I'd buy the best retread tires I could get, and I think it was about $10 a piece back then, over at Johnson's Tire Shop over on 4th Street, and that's all I could afford. But it was a good truck. There wasn't nothing wrong with it, and served me well for a lot of years and carried me a lot of miles. It was three on the tree. And by the way, my grandma had a Chrysler that when she passed away, it went to my mom and dad. And it was kind of tannish brown color, and it was as big as a Sherman tank. I mean, it was huge. It had the most beautiful dash, and the radio had push buttons all over it. And it was fluid drive, by golly, like you said, Jerry. And it finally, I think the water pump went out or something and got too hot. I don't know. It finally succumbed to old age. But, man, that thing was a beast, and I've drove it many times. But, anyways, guys, I got to go. Jerry, congratulations on that new vehicle, and hope you enjoy it, and hope it lasts a long time. Gary, good to hear you again. So, Gary, I'll turn it over to you in for DJC and 0TR73s, guys.
Bernice, have a good afternoon. Be careful out there.
Enjoyed it. You and Miss Bernice, be careful. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk at you a little bit later. And Jerry, unfortunately, I'm arrived here at my next stop. I've got to jump out of the truck again. And this time I got to go spend some money, unfortunately. But that's the nature of the beast, too, you know, when you have to go running errands. But congratulations on the new vehicle. I hope you enjoy it. And like Tom says, I hope you get a lot of miles out of it. 7-3 there, my friend. We'll talk at you a little bit later. N4DJC, KI4DOS Mobile.
Yeah, have a nice afternoon, too. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good here, and hadn't rained any, but it looks just warmed up some. But have a good afternoon, and you be careful out there, too. Talk to you later, KI4DOS, N4DJC.
N4DJW
Mobile.
4DJC. Ready to leave. I heard you bought a new car.
And David talked about trading his Mustang in this week or so ago and had that Accord, and we got to the Accord, and too hard for us to get in and out of it. It was just loaded around. I couldn't see it up, and I traded it on Subaru Crosstrek yesterday.
You had a Subaru before?
Yeah, in 2011, I put a bunch of miles on that thing.
But they look nice. Well, congratulations on your upgrade.
Upgrade, the Accord was a good car. It was a really good car, and I really hated to trade it. But one of those things, when you get a lot older, and we don't have a truck or SUV or anything like that handy. When I had the Forester, we had a regular car in the Forester, and it was always easy to get out when the weather was bad and the haul stuff and that sort of thing without having to have a truck. And, visibility and the cab visibility is good, and it's got all the bells and whistles on it. We figured it'd probably be our last car, so it's a subcompact. You know, it's not as big as the other one, as big as the Forester, but it drives great. I was really surprised, and my wife feels a little more comfortable driving since it's a little smaller.
Or did you have to go to get it? Where did you pick it up?
Fairway. Fairway Ford has got a Subaru dealership there.
Oh, out on Motor Mall?
Right there, right next to the Ford dealership. It's not across the street. It's right next door to it, just as you cross over on the far end of the, like heading into town, on the far end of the Ford. They have a Subaru dealership.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Well, that's not too far to have to go. That's pretty convenient, actually, huh?
I'm from my daughter's house, so, you know, if I need to have it serviced or something, I can go over there and leave it there or whatever, and stay at my daughter's house if I need to. So it's pretty, we go over there. We still go over there a couple times a week, so it's not out of the way for us. And their dealership, their service department, they got a pretty good service department there as well. It's a little more expensive to maintain because they're all-wheel drive, but, you know, I sure enjoy driving my other one. I thought I'd like to get a regular sedan because I hadn't really owned one. My wife had a Camry she's owned for years, and I usually drove a truck. And then when I went into sales, I mean, let this thing drop. A Camry company car for me, so we didn't have to buy a car for years. And then when I retired, I bought that Forester, and I drove that thing. I put about 130,000 miles on it. It was pretty trouble-free as far as I can recall. And we liked it because you could see out of it, and it was easy to get it. You know, all you do is just, it's almost like, you didn't have to get up in it like you do a CRV or a truck. You just, you know, throw your legs out and your feet are on the ground type of thing. And the Accord, this Accord was just really low to the ground, and the seat set low. And the hood actually set up so high, Dave, you could physically see the entire hood. You can see over the top of the hood. And, you know, the window's so narrow on these new cars because the EPA stuff on them, you don't have much visibility. Yeah, it's got the backup cameras and the collision avoidance and, you know, all the other stuff that comes with all the newers now. So I feel like an upgrade might help keep us driving a little longer.
We'll have her camera.
We sold that Camry, and it's been sold for, you know, we sold it back in 2005, and she wanted a smaller car than the Camry. She's got a Honda Civic, 2005 Civic that she still drives. It's 17 years old this July, I think, but it's only got like 84,000 miles on it.
Car that's really old like that, but young in terms of miles. They still drive good. They're still solidly held together. The weld joints aren't getting loose and rattly. But my wife had Camrys before she had Avalons, and I always liked the Camry better. Her first Camry was two-tone. It was one color on the bottom half and a different color up above, and it's like it went from like a brown to, or like a copper tone to a tan color. And I always thought that looked really, really sharp together. But she wanted an Avalon, but she wanted an upgrade, so she got a new Camry, and she didn't like the Camry, then a second Camry, so she got an Avalon, and then she stuck with them ever since. But that Camry had a remote start, back, this was way back in, I don't know, turn of the century, back in 2000 or something like that. And it, when the other cars didn't have that yet, so that was a nice feature. I always liked that Camry, though. Never will forget that car. Very, very nice.
Camry was a 92. When they changed, when Lexus took over the design team for Toyota for the Camry, they redesigned that. We got it the first year we had it. I remember those two times. Actually, Toyota made a Camry before. Yeah, the Lexus got involved with them. It was a totally different looking car. It looked more like a Corona or a Crescent or something like that. And now my mother-in-law had a Crescent, I think. That was a pretty high end. I think the Corona might have been the most expensive Toyota built, but the Crescent was pretty close behind. It was a really fine car. And she loved that thing. It drove great. But you know, Lynn drove that Camry for years. And we finally sold it. I think we sold it probably 12 or 13 years old before we sold it. And the only reason we sold it, Dave, is that we bought it. We did not have a garage. It had sat outside for a while. And the stuff, you know, like the insulation in the air conditioning unit, vents and stuff started deteriorating, and the bushings. And our Toyota guy for years here said, there's nothing mechanical wrong with the car, and it's just, you know, all the stuff starting to deteriorate now. And that's really the only reason, to be honest with you, that's the only reason she got rid of it. She loves that Civic now, and it's a good little car. It's been garaged its whole life, though. It hadn't been out in the, hadn't had to sit out in the sun. It's so small, it's not something I'd want to go on a, you know, long interstate trip with, just because it's, you know, it's small and it didn't have a lot of safety stuff on it. But it's been a very, very reliable car. We hadn't had I think we replaced an O-ring on the air compressor one time, and I mean, for that refrigeration compressor and the oil changes and stuff like that, that's about all it's been done to it.
Like that, that's the reason I switched over from American-made cars, because when they did the design to fail it in 60,000 miles thing back in the 70s and 80s, that's when I abandoned the American-made cars and went with Toyota mostly. That's where I got my Toyota truck, but Nissan too. Always wanted a Nissan, but never could afford one of those until now. But when I started my job in Charlotte and going back and forth every single day, back and forth there, 1,000 miles a week, I was wearing out cars pretty quick, so I was buying them every other year. And she figured if I was getting a new car every other year, she needed to be able to do that too. And that's the only reason we went through Camrys and Avalons, is she just wanted to keep up.
Yeah, I was a Toyota guy to begin with. My first Toyota was Corolla in 1976, and I bought a little Tercel just to drive back and forth to the plant when I lived Rock Hill, I think in 1980. And actually, I think I put about 35,000 miles on it, and then I actually sold that car to a friend of mine, and I bought a Nissan pickup. And it was an early four-wheel drive Nissan, and I absolutely despised that thing. It had a fifth gear in it that was so, it was geared so, I mean, you couldn't get up a hill there without downshifting. And I kept it for several years, and finally, I think in 1992, matter of fact, I got the Camry the same year that I got a 92 pre-Tacoma, all a four-wheel drive truck, and I drove that thing for a long time. I love that truck, because, you know, the old Tacoma was a lot smaller than the new one. My son's got a new one out there, and it looks like a monster compared to the old one I had. And then I had a Honda CRX for a few years. I drove back, you know, I was just commuter cars to drive back and forth to work. Then I went back to Toyota with the Camrys and bought the first Honda, the one I bought for my daughter when she graduated for her to drive. That Civic was the first Honda we'd owned, actually, a sedan we'd owned, and then bought the Accord in 2018. And, you know, it's just the thing about when I bought that one, you didn't want them then, and when I traded in, you know, I was surprised how much money I got. I mean, it didn't depreciate a whole lot at all. I was really shocked, but I got a good price for it on trade-in. That's one of the reasons I did it, because it was, you know, it's almost 5 years old, and I was just at the cusp of after they get, you know, it only had about 45 on it, so about the time it starts getting, you know, 60, 70,000 miles when you start really losing the value, and I thought it was a good time, and I said, you know, at my age, we'll try one more time with a Subaru, and like I said, she likes it, and I do too, but they made, this was a Subaru, this Subaru is made in Japan, it's not made in the United States.
To work like you want it to. I'm going to run in Staples here. I got to drop off her packages. Used to be UPS guy. Used to pick those up. He doesn't do that anymore. So I got to run in here and drop them out off, and I'll be back in a little bit. N4DJCW4DJW.
Probably catch you when you get back on. If not, have a good afternoon. W4DJW, N4DJC.
4DJW Mobile.
KF4DOS Mobile.
How are you?
Out running errands. Had to go over here and over yonder and someplace else. First place I went to the dump, and second place I went up was over here to get some station.
That's what I'm doing. I was writing code, and I just drug myself away from the computer. It was a hard thing to do, but I managed to make it happen. To get out here in the pretty sunshine and enjoy the day a little bit. Only to take packages to Staples to have them returned. You know the UPS guy used to do that. He doesn't do that anymore.
I'm glad that, I'm not glad that they don't do it anymore, but at least you can take it back. I've got some ink cartridges out of $1 a piece for them, so yeah, I got four of them, so that's at least $4 I won't have to spend on the next batch. And Dave, it seems like there's a digipeater coming in there again. Did you hear that?
It sounds a little different than a digipeater, though, or it sounds like a digipeater with a really bad cold. it's got a problem.
Hey. I don't know what that was. It didn't sound like an ape or anything like that. I don't know what that was. But two items for both of you. One's radio related, one's not. One of my friends was just telling me just recently that the HP is, you know, they've got some, evidently they've got some software in them now. Of course, they've done it for a while, but they're trying to figure out some way where you can't defeat it, so you can't use other companies' cartridges. Refilled ink cartridges, that sort of thing. I think some guy was telling me there was a hack to get around. I know, probably, Dave, you probably know it. And another thing, Dave, radio related, you might be interested in is talking to one of my friends at Kenwood, and they're gonna be at, Kenwood's actually going to be at Dayton this year, and they're going to have some new products to show them. One of them is kind of a evidence, especially a secret, one of those secret, not so secret things, be a replacement for the D-74 handheld.
I get it. It's about time that they came out with something new. Somebody needs to poke that giant, wake them up, tell them to come out with something new, because I think they're behind compared to all the other guys with their new TFT screens and waterfalls and all that stuff that they've got, you know. Everybody's been wondering when Kenwood's going to wake up and get busy again, get back to work. So that's good to hear. I haven't been to Dayton but once, and my son and I drove up there and back on the same day. We drove up there just to see what it was about. Got up early, went up there, walked around during the ham fest, saw each one of the different sites, and then got in the car and drove home. It was pretty cool. But hopefully they'll come out with something good. And, yeah, I'm hanging on to my DH-7s because they do Sky Command with the TS-2000. And because they do that Sky Command where you can control HF frequency and audio and all that stuff with your handheld from out in the yard. So that's going to be a hard combo for anybody to replace. Go ahead, Gary, W4DJW.
Finally come out with something new. Of course, every time I buy something, you know, that I think's going to last, they replace it real quick. You know, I bought the D700, and they replaced it with the 710 about the year after I bought mine. but I'm like you. I've got one of the the little HDs that'll do Sky Command and all that, and got that 2000, and it works with it real well, so I'm going to hang on to it as well. But they hadn't replaced my 480 that's in the truck, so I'm glad about that.
I'd heard. Make sure I got it. And one thing, I think they're going to replace the D-710. You know, the 710 and the 74 have been discontinued since December of 2021, I think. And the 74s are bringing over $800 on eBay because when anything out there, I hope this time, whatever they come out with a handheld this time, they're combined, the 74 and 72, and including having apers and they can do well with shortwave. You know, the 74 Dave has 220 and has a D-Star on it. I hope they keep that. I hope they make the, whatever the replacement is for duplex. That make a great little satellite radio.
Ken would have anything that had D-Star on it. I guess that's probably the only product that they do, they have that has a proprietary chip in it. Unless they figured out a way to get around that, that D-Star protocol. But I didn't know it did 220 either. I did look at that handheld very, very closely because I think it will do Sky Command as well. And it's got a colored TFT screen, but it was tiny. That's the only reason I decided not to go with it. The screen was like an inch by 2 inches or something like that, I think. That's too little. My eyes, I need something bigger than that with my eyes where they are right now, even with glasses on. Go ahead, Gary. W4DJW.
Here's my next stop. I got to jump out again. Catch y'all in a few. Enjoyed it. You take care. Tell Miss Amy we said hello, and I'll let Jerry pick it up. Okay, I'm 4DOS Mobile.
I'll talk to you again.
So, did you have one of those? Catch you later, Gary, and tell Joy hello. So, Jerry, did you have one of those with the color screen, the Kenwood?
I've had one for a couple of years now. When people start wanting to pay me $1,000 for everything, I just said, okay, go ahead. And I used it. It was really good papers because it was it wasn't a touch screen. It just had a, because it's got a full-size keyboard. 74 is a pretty good-sized radio. It's got a full, basically a full-size keypad. It's just not very, wasn't real rugged, Dave, the way the battery attachment, it wasn't water sealed and that sort of thing like some of the new ones, but it had good audio as you'd think with Kenwood audio products, and you could actually, it had an equalizer, you could tune the transmit and the receive on FM and on D-Star, and it was a good radio. It had apers, but it wasn't full duplex. Now the 72 was the one that had the small screen, it had a amper screen, and I could not read that thing. But it was full duplex and had apers as well, but it was a little more difficult to operate. And the 74 you could access the TNC on it, as you could the 72, like the FT, the Yaesus, the near Yaesus, you can't access the TNC, and the apers stuff is really, it's kind of clumsy the way they do the apers messaging and that sort of thing. The Kenwood was a whole lot easier to operate. I hope they continue to maintain that, but the screen resolution was really high, and it was a great radio. I think when I bought mine, they were about $500 when I bought mine, which was really expensive for the time when they started inching up towards $800. So I said, I don't really need this thing that bad after all.
That's the reason I didn't get one is because, yeah, it was approaching $1,000 for a handheld. And when it got that close for a handheld, I thought, no, there's no way to justify that. But I didn't know that the 74 had all that it had. I didn't look at it as close as you did. But hopefully they will come out with something good. Are you planning to go to Dayton to see their debut of whatever their products are they're coming out with?
I don't travel that far anymore, but I'm sure somebody will be there with it. This, Phil Barton is their national sales manager. I've known Phil for probably 30 years. He used to be the manager at HRO in Atlanta. When I made the Hamfest rounds over the years, I met him. And, of course, I did a lot of traveling in that area. And he and myself and my brother-in-law, we always kind of hung out together. Last time I was at Dayton, Dave, we flew up, myself, my brother-in-law, and Ralph Fowler, who was a main Aprils guy in the Atlanta area for years, and Dick Peugeot, who was one of my brother-in-law's buddies. He was a Dick's plane. We flew up to Dayton State for two or three days and flew back in the plane in 96, and that was great. You know, I really enjoyed it. They were tracking us all the way up there and back, and it was nice to be able to fly up there. And, you know, and I was just so amazed. I had been in that part of the country in a plane before. I was just amazed at how green Ohio was. It's just farmland after farmland, you know, one pasture after another in the lower part of the state.